The Drifters were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1989. Benny King was the lead singer from 1958 to 1960 and can be heard on such hits as There Goes My Baby, This Magic Moment, Save the Last Dance for Me, and I Count the Tears. After leaving the Drifters, he went on to a successful solo career. His biggest hit was a song he co-wrote.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand.
Benny King is now 56 years old, living in New Jersey, and working on a new album he plans to have out next year. I spoke with him in 1988. He told me that before he sang on stage or in the studio, he sang on the streets of Harlem.
I was born in Henderson, North Carolina, so I wasn't familiar with the street singing thing until I came to New York, which I was about 11 years old when my parents first moved to New York. And I heard about it, and then gradually, by being in the streets of Harlem, I walked around and, surely enough, bumped into different little guys singing and doo-wopping on the stoops and stuff like that. So I was more or less introduced to it when I first got to New York.
Did singing in a vocal group on the streets give you the same kind of security as belonging to a gang?
Yeah, well, it gave me a chance to meet nice people, nice guys to hang out with, kind of. And it was the alternative to other type of gangs. We had gangs during our time as well, but I fortunately for myself, I bumped into, I think, the right kind of people, you know.
Now, you sang with the Crowns.
Yeah.
The Five Crowns. And you sang bass before you started singing lead. Can your voice still go that low?
I think so. Yeah, Kent, I'm naturally a bass baritone. I guess that's what my voice tends to go very heavy. I'm naturally a bass baritone, so I can sing bass still, I think, yeah.
Did it have a certain prestige to be the bass man in a vocal group?
Well, girls always thought so. Girls like the bass singer, I guess, because they have that more mature depth to his voice. And they tend to howl around. And at that time, you have to realize that most of the bass things were done in the doo-wop groups and stuff like that, was the featured thing in the song, you know. So the bass singer was the one that was doing the doo-wop-a-doo-wop-a-doo-wop-a-doo-doo, all that stuff, see? So you couldn't go wrong with that, you know. So I had the chance to do all those things, and the girls was just standing around and giggling and stuff. So I think that was, you know, one of the key things that helped me as far as getting me introduced to the females there.
Oh, that's great. Well, you went from bass singer with the Crowns to lead singer with the Drifters.
Yeah.
And before I ask you to tell us a story about how the Crowns became the new Drifters and how you got to sing lead, I want to play the first song that you recorded singing lead as the lead singer of the Drifters. And
okay.
This is There Goes My Baby.
Oh, oh. There she goes. There she goes.
Benny King singing lead with the Drifters on There Goes My Baby. So tell us how the Crowns, who you sang with, became the Drifters.
Well, that's one of those strange stories, really. I joined the Crowns because the guy that was managing them, by the name of Lover Patterson, lived across the street from my father's restaurant. So he came in one day and asked me to join the Crowns. He brought him into the store, and we rehearsed in the back of my father's restaurant, and I became a member. And the Crowns were, I would imagine, a very good, like, vocal type group, semi-pro. And we opened up at the Apollo with Ray Charles, and I think it was Faye Adams on the bill, and of course the Drifters were on the bill as well, and we were the opening act. During that week, we were approached by their manager, Joyce Treadwell, and he had mentioned to us that he had been watching us and he thought we were a very good group and would we be interested in becoming a new set of Drifters.
He had just, fired Clyde McFadder, who had been the lead singer.
Yeah, well, what had happened in that, I think Clyde really wasn't in the group at that time. Clyde had more or less gone solo, but the other members were in the group, and he had, had problems with the group, or the group had problems with him, and they decided to just split company, and they did so, you know.
We're featuring a 1989 interview with Benny King. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to our interview with Benny King. When the producer decided that your group would be the next Drifters, did they do anything different with you or tell you to do anything different for you to become Drifters?
Not really. I think that was a strange thing about the whole situation is that when we became a new set of Drifters, there weren't any instructions at all given to us. You know, we used to go on the road as the new set of Drifters before the record was released, and we were booed off the stage, and we had bottles thrown at us and chairs and the whole nine yards. So we weren't given any warning to what to do, how to act. We got uniforms, and I think we got a new station wagon or something like that. But that's the only thing that we received as far as become a new set of Drifters, as well as the fact that we had to fulfill the Drifters' recording contracts, and we weren't aware of that. You know, we were just four or five kids coming out of Harlem from a very, very amateurish background. Even during the time with the Five Crowns, we were just more or less, as I said before, semi-pro. So we didn't know about all the particulars that professionals would go through to more or less make a living in the business.
You got booed because the fans were expecting the other Drifters, and
yeah,
here you
exactly.
were with no explanation.
That's right, exactly. Well, it's like going to see the Four. I always say it's like going to see the Four Tops, and all of a sudden the curtain opens, and there's four guys about 17 years old. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you would face. Yeah.
Now, when you were telling us about the Crowns, you had sung bass with the Crowns, but you ended up singing lead when the Crowns became the Drifters.
Yeah.
How did you get to sing lead?
I wrote the song "There Goes My Baby" while we was on the road, and when I got back to New York, I showed it to Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, who produced today. And while we were in the studio, I was trying to show the lyrics to Charlie Thomas, who was the lead and did all the tenors to the songs. And for some strange reason, he couldn't get the feel of the song. And Jerry Wexler, who was involved with the date as well, came into the control room and said, "Look, Charlie's having trouble with this song. You sing it, you know." And I just went to the mic. I had an advantage over him because I had written the song anyway. So I went to the microphone and started singing, and I was stuck with lead since then.
Stuck, huh?
Yeah, stuck, right?
A lot of the Drifters records had strings
on it,
and they really sound great, and I think they were probably the first or among the first
right.
R&B records to have strings on it. Did you go for that idea originally?
Oh, no, that had nothing to do with me. Again, like I said, I was just more or less along for the ride. I wasn't familiar with what went on in the studio. That was my very first time in a really professional studio when we went into the Atlantic Record Studio as the Drifters. I didn't know that strings and kettle drums and cellos and all those pretty instruments weren't the norm for anyone that was going into the Atlantic Studios. I didn't know that we were making history at that time. That was an idea brought up by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, who was brave enough to make that move and change the whole musical history of rock and roll.
Well, I want to play another song that you recorded with the Drifters, and this is, of course, you're singing lead on it. This is a song that made it to number one both on the R&B charts and on the pop charts, which was pretty big deal. Really.
Right. No, that was a great deal during that time, because in that time you have to allow for the fact that they weren't actually playing a lot of black records, and not only weren't they playing a lot of them, they weren't even thinking about crossing them over.
Mm-hmm. You want to say anything else about Save the Last Dance for Me before we hear it?
I'd say The Last Dance still is one of my favorite songs. I re-recorded it recently in an album that I just did not too long ago.
Let's hear your first version of it.
Okay.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye to let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling,
save the last dance for me.
Well, that still sounds very terrific.
Thank you.
When you found out that you were going to be a lead singer, did that give a new push to your career? Had you been thinking that you weren't going to make it as a backup singer?
Not really. I didn't think about making it as a singer anyhow. I was doing what I was doing to enjoy my life. I didn't pursue a career in show business. I didn't know that you could have a career in show business. I thought that everybody was singing to have fun, not to earn a living, not to anticipate stardom. I still find it fascinating that so much money goes around in this business. I didn't actually start off to be a singer, aiming at any particular careers or aiming at any particular spot in life. I just enjoyed music, which I still do very much.
Benny King, recorded in 1988.